As mentioned earlier, we're in our series titled We Need to Know, and this is part three of our series, We Need to Know. And basically, as the Lord put on my heart, and I've spoken to you many times, this whole message is kind of put around the idea that we all deal with difficult things in our lives. And if you're here for the first time today, I want to just kind of reiterate that we're talking about life, and life happens, and life is not always filled with going to Disneyland, right? It's not always filled with going to your favorite place or vacation. Life is not always a vacation. Hey, you go to vacation, and it's all fun and dandy. You come back, and then what? Real life hits, right? Then you just got to deal with the same old stuff. We got to pay bills. We got to wake up. We don't feel so good. You know, all of these things go off, and sometimes without, you know, just like slapping us behind, without all of a sudden something just happens out of the ordinary, or something catches us by surprise. And through this series, what we're trying to understand is that we need to know that it's going to be okay. That we have an idea that when we trust in God, that regardless of what happens in our life here and now, regardless of what goes on, we need to know that it's going to be okay. And the closer that we walk with God, the more we understand God's word, the more we understand that God is for us and not against us, that God will strengthen us and he will give us what is necessary to fight the daily battles of life, that he is greater than we can even imagine in our life. And he loves us that much that when we know these things, we won't get so much rocked by the daily situations in life that kind of come unexpectedly. Has anybody ever had an unexpected occurrence in your life? Probably most everybody here. Yeah, we've had that. And so my hope is that each one throughout this series will come to know that with God, all things are possible. And with God, it's going to be okay. It's just going to be okay. And that to me is refreshing. We've talked about this. If you haven't caught part one and two, you definitely want to. You can go online, tobchurch.org. Check it out. Our Bible studies is on there. Our sermons are on there. You can listen to them to catch up and see what the Lord speaks. Last week, I stated three more absolutes that I want to post up here for you. And here they are. This is what we talked about last week. All of God's promises of a hope and a future are for believers. So we talked about that God's hope, his future are spoken to those that will put their trust in him. If we don't trust in God, then we're kind of just like throwing the dice and spinning the wheel and taking our chances. I'll take my chances in life. Well, bad deal, because the house wins. You're going to lose. All right? But the understanding this, that if we put our trust in God who created us, that we can claim all of his promises, that we can have the hope that God wants to instill in us, that we can read what God teaches us in Genesis through Revelation, and though our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can apply those promises, and if God delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, then God can deliver me too. My God can do that. If God can part the Red Sea for millions of people that are escaping from the enemy, how many believe that God can part the sea for you too? Amen. That's what God can do, and I've seen him do it. I've seen God change the course of a mighty river for his loved ones, for those who have faith in him. So we need to know that. That's where God's promises are for us who place our faith. And God will go through all things with us, that we're never alone. That we're never going to be forsaken. Jesus said, behold, I will be with you always. So we need to know that whatever it is I go through, even the simple stuff, do you know God is there? In the major stuff, God is absolutely there. He's with us in all things. We just need to ask him. And as we worship in our song this morning, and we talked about, as Tara was given exhortation, that we needed to know that God is able. He is able to do more than we can even imagine. God is able, and he can handle it. So we trust in the Lord and never give up faith in him. We discussed an incredible story last week in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter talking about God's power through faith. If you were here, man, it was an awesome, awesome time of just reflecting in God's word, talking about the power of God. And we talked about Hananiah, who's called Shadrach. We talked about Mishael, who's called Meshach, and Azariah, who's called Abednego. And yet we remember their names as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Those are the names we remember. Those were their Babylonian given names, not their original Hebrew names. They were given to them, but we remember them that way. But we heard the story of just how these guys stood by faith before the enemy And they were willing to walk through the fire. But they didn't just stand by faith, but they stood by a strong conviction that God is with us. How many have a strong conviction that God is with us today? No matter what they faced, no matter what they were going to go through, they would not turn away from God. Because they were convinced that God is able to do what he says he's going to do. And if God wants to do it another way, then glory to God and let him have his way. That's the conviction that we have as Christians. If God be delivering me today, praise the Lord. If God give me another day on this earth, praise the Lord. But if God takes me from this earth today, then I'll be with him. That's my conviction I have. And I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. This is the kind of thing that we need to know. In fact, through the trials of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we can truly see a God who is faithful and a God who protects his people. You see, as I told you, Scripture was written for us to learn. Scripture was written for us to be encouraged. Scripture was there to show us that God is all-powerful, that God can stand in the force of, it doesn't matter how big the army is, it doesn't matter who stands, it doesn't matter if the whole world stands up and says, I defy you, God. God stands and said, you're nothing compared to me. God is God. And will always be God. And no matter what you see, no matter how your election results go on Tuesday, whether you win or lose, let me tell you something. God is still on the throne. God is on the throne, and he's doing what he wants to do. So today, before we leave the book of Daniel, I want to talk about another one that we didn't talk about last week. I want to talk about Daniel himself. And I want to show you in Scripture how God worked in his life at a particular time where it was very challenging to Daniel himself and his commitment to God. As I talked about last week, where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, where the rubber hits the road, when it was time, do we stand by faith or do we tuck our tails and run? What do we do when we're faced with the massive trial of their life? And you know that they faced the fiery furnace, where everyone had died in there before them. So now, as we move forward, remember, under King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, due to his God-given abilities to interpret dreams, God gave him just some wonderful abilities to have a special knowledge, as he did for all of these Hebrew boys. He was elevated to a high position of governor in the kingdom. So we know that even as he was one of the exilees that came from Israel into Babylon, that he was one of the group, because the king Nebuchadnezzar, he said, hey, I want the smartest, brightest, good-looking, strongest dudes to come over here. Take them, bring them over. That's who I want to come into our kingdom. That's who I want to train up. And we know that Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were a few of those particular guys that came over. But these ones were given special ability, and Daniel was given a special ability. Look in Daniel 2, 48 through 49. And forgive me if I go fast today. We have a lot of message here that I want to try to give to you. So I'm just going to lay it all out there, and hopefully the Lord will put it all together for you. Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts. He made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon. That's pretty cool, right? As well as chief over all of his wise men. At Daniel's request in 49, we see now how it is to know people. The king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon while Daniel remained in the king's court. Hey, it's good to know people in high places, right? Right? So now we look at Daniel's life, and let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 6. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And here we have Babylon has now been overthrown as God's called it to be. So God had already spoke about these things, and now Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, is now out of the picture, dies out of the picture, and now Babylon is under the rule of the king of Persia, Cyrus. So now we're kind of transitioning. So now Daniel's going from one leader to another leader. So what's going to happen to Daniel? Well, we'll see what Scripture says. What happened to Daniel was that this king of Persia, who overthrew the king Nebuchadnezzar and overthrew all of those, and actually it trekked on down to King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson was the one who lost the kingdom. Many people were in charge over there, but that's not what we need to know today. But they were overthrown, but yet again, God's faithful, that is, those who trusted in the Lord, find themselves being elevated. Daniel found himself to be elevated to another high position of authority, even as the kingdom that he served was overthrown. Remember, he was exiled to Babylon from, all right, his native land, right? And then got elevated to a high position under King Nebuchadnezzar, and now a new king, Cyrus of Persia, comes in, overthrows everything, creates this big old kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, and then now looks at Daniel and says, hey, you're a pretty smart guy. I think I'm going to use you. And this was part of the assimilation process. Very smart that when these tyrants would come and they would overthrow another kingdom, that in order to assimilate them, to listen and to submit to them, they would use those that were in authority to keep things kind of flowing where they were kind of used to seeing their face. So it was a very smart tactic that they would use and put these other governors and leaders under their authority to do that. So they were part of this assimilation plan. And then here's Daniel. So here's what we first need to know, that our obedience to God will always give us favor. Our obedience to God will always give us favor. That when you are obedient to doing things God's way, when you don't bend your way or to another way, but you stay continued with Yahweh, when you continue to serve Him, that your obedience to God will always give you favor. And how we read this? Let's look at Daniel's life. In verse 1 of chapter 6, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom of 120 provinces, and he appointed a high official to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel is now being elevated, ding, 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 all the way up. But then look at verse 3. Look at Daniel here. And this is obviously a God-given ability. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, check this out, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Man, this dude is just like getting favor of God just oozing and pouring all over him. It's like the dude can't do wrong. Why? Why? Because God gave him a special ability, and because with that ability, he continued to serve God in full obedience. He did not take God's gifting and run and say, now I'm going to do it for me. He said, everything I do is going to be for the glory of God. So as I said before, our obedience to God will give us favor. So now Daniel's dedication to God was reflected in obviously everything he did. So he was blessed. And you too and I will be blessed if people see Jesus in us. We will live a blessed life. As Christians, we must. Somebody say, we must. We must uphold to God's word, even if it seems that we don't get what we want, or even if it seems that others are being dishonest. We must always be honest and do things the right way. We must, even if we feel that, you know what, because I didn't do what they did, and I know they were doing some dishonest stuff, look at them, they're doing so much more prospering, they have so much more money, they have so much more stuff than I have, and I did it right, and look at me, wah, wah, wah. You know what? Let me tell you something. What comes around goes around, baby, and when you stand for God, God will stand for you. We're going to hear that in a minute, but I want to say, if you continue to do the righteous things, God will bless you. You don't need to cheat on taxes to be blessed. You don't need to try to muscle your way through or step on other people to be blessed. Live for God. Do it the right way. God will bless you. Our integrity and our obedience to God will always be rewarded by God. And not only will it be rewarded by God, but as we see the king looking at Daniel, it will also be admired and respected by other people. Do you know when you choose to do things right that people respect that? They respect integrity. They respect people who live an upright life. They may not do it, they may not choose to be that way, but they'll certainly respect you. And let me tell you this right here. When all heck breaks loose in a person's life, they want to call somebody who's upright and respectable. When somebody needs advice for their life, they're going to call somebody that they can trust. Not somebody who hears it here and then out there. They want somebody who's upright, respectable, lives a righteous life, who loves God. And they will be respected by others. Let me tell you something. I taught a series long ago that said how important your name. How important is a name? A name is very important. When somebody says my name, I want it to be attached to that this guy lives upright before the Lord. Not perfect. I ain't perfect by no means. But when they hear, God gave me one name, and my name is Anthony. And it was given to me by God. And I want to honor Jesus Christ with me. It's important. It's important. You know, remember the old days? Anybody remember back in the day when a handshake was all you needed and you could trust that? Right? Nowadays, it's just a high five and we'll see what happens. But there used to be a handshake and people could actually do that, right? Anybody remember those generations before? A handshake is what, that's it, man. That was stone cold ironclad. Why? Because people had integrity. Even if it cost them, they said, you know what? It cost me, I'm losing, but I shook on it, and I will fulfill that. That's integrity. That's integrity, and that will be admired, respected by others. But then as there are those people who will respect and admire you, how many know that there's also those haters on the other side? There's always the hater group. And the hater group, what do? They hate everything. Those people will say, you know what? I got this going in my life, and they're going to find a way to mess it up with hate. They're going to, oh, that ain't going to work for you. We'll see what changes. It's just a bunch of haters, man. Oh, well, I'm doing this. While I'm going to school. I'm trying to better myself. Oh, you'll see. You'll give up. Hate. Got haters. So let's look at what happened here. So there's those people who would try to bring us down. Anybody got some of those in their life? Don't raise your hand. And especially those people who are out there and they see us dedicated to God. Anybody see you're dedicated to God and they just want to do everything they can to kind of mess that up? Give you a call, hey, I know you're a Christian and all, but there's this party going on and, you know, we got to go do this. Come on. They want to mess you up. They see sometimes how God blesses us and they try to mess with it. They see the blessings of God and they definitely want to make sure that it's just by chance or by happenstance that there is no such thing. So Daniel had some of these haters in his life too. In chapter 6, verse 4, then the other administrators and high officials began searching for some fault. Now you got to listen to the words here. They begin, other high officials, so remember he's being elevated. They're saying, hey man, that ain't cool. That ain't cool. So they were looking for ways to mess with him. So they began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But what does it say? But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. They were looking, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Notice it says they couldn't find a fault. Let me tell you something. In our lives today, if somebody wants to find a fault, they're going to find a fault. But imagine being in a place where somebody's tried to bring you down and they simply cannot. They try to say, well, they talk to your friends and family and say, I'll bet that Pastor Anthony is not the same at home as he is at church. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. Watch. Just watch. He's up there all preaching all holy and all this guy. We're going to get him. Start interviewing my family. Is he different? What's he do? Huh? Tell us the good news. Tell us the scoop. They tried to find fault in him. They tried to do everything they could. And let me tell you something. Other people will do the same to you. They will try to break your testimony. They will try to shoot you down. They will try to do anything they can. You said a bad word? You're not a Christian. See, I told you, you're not so godly. Hey, amen. We all mess up at times. We all. And people are going to try to capitalize on that. Why? Because they're feeling kind of shameful that they're not in the same place with God that we are. So they're going to try to find fault in you. They're going to break your testimony. So you know what you do when somebody tries to break your testimony? Don't let them. Stand upright. Walk with integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do the best you can to honor God in all things. Practice what we preach. Does that sound like a novel concept for today? Practice what we preach, man. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is going to be a two-part message, I'm just telling you right now. The Apostle Paul said this in 9:27, 1 Corinthians, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. The Apostle Paul says, man, if I'm telling people and showing people this way, then I better make sure my life reflects everything I'm saying. And I've talked about this in length before. You know, the old thing is, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work anymore. Especially to our kids anymore. Kids are just different kids nowadays. We can't say, do as I say. You need to get on the old church Sunday school bus because church is good for you. Well, what about you, mama, daddy? No, it's good for you. We're covered. Then they say, you know what? They say, well, if it ain't good for you, it ain't good for me either. So we have to make sure that if we're trying to tell people to come to Jesus, if we're trying to tell people that the Lord heals, that the Lord blesses, that we have an awesome God, that we're going to heaven, then we better live our lives that show that. So that less, Paul said, I don't want to do all this and preaching all this good news to you all, and yet in my life you don't see it at all. Because remember, they're looking. They're looking for ways to kind of slither out of what we're trying to preach, which is Jesus Christ. So I discipline my body like an athlete. So moving on in Daniel 6, 5 to 9. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds of accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So we're going to mess with his faith. So the administrators and high officials went to the king and said, long live King Darius. This would be the official that was ruling over of that province under Cyrus, they believe. We are all in agreement. Listen to this. We are all in agreement against that guy. We, administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. We're all in agreement. Daniel's like, hey, I'm not in that. He was one of those guys, right? Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty. Except to you, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, they continue on. Your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So what did the king do in verse 9? He signed to law. He's like, okay, I could do that. I could sign a law that says everybody's got to worship me. Isn't that what the enemy always wants to do? Isn't that the enemy has wanted from the very beginning? The spirit of the enemy has always wanted God's worship. For people to worship and bow down. So he's like, okay, that sounds pretty good. Since all of you have come into agreement, come on, let's do this. So obviously, these guys knew of Daniel's commitment to God. Maybe these guys had heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. Maybe they heard about how under King Nebuchadnezzar, they refused to bow to any other gods. Maybe they heard that. So they're saying, ha ha, we got him. We're going to do a law that he's not going to admit because his buddies didn't do it. He won't do it. We got him. We're going to shaft this guy. We're going to thrash him through his faith. So this was the setup. This would be the test of Daniel's commitment to God. And let me tell you something. There will be many times in our lives when our faith, our loyalty, our commitment to God will be tested as well. People will try to test our faith. They will do it in many ways. And yet, God allows that. Why? Why does God allow our faith to be tested? Why does God allow those trials and those tribulations in our life? Well, the Bible teaches us that God allows those things so that when we come through them, we will be stronger on the other side. That when our faith is tested and we stand our ground and we keep our obedience and our commitment to God, that we will actually be stronger so that whatever it is that comes our way, we will be able to withhold and stand no matter what. Because our faith is strong. I've asked this question before, but how many feel that their faith is stronger in God today than it was when you first gave your heart to Jesus Christ? Why? Because life happens. And because God's delivered you. And you were sick, and now you're well. You were in poverty, but now you have food. You didn't have a car, but now you do. All these things is because you learn through all these trials and tribulations. You learn you were hurt by somebody, but now that's restored. Because God allows us to prove our faith is genuine, to make us stronger. So now here the enemy was attacking Daniel's prayer life. How many believe that the enemy wants to attack your prayer life? Here's why you can know that for sure. Because you start praying, and you're like, oh, God, you're so awesome, and man, Lord, I just... oh, God, yeah, you're... So, the enemy was attacking his prayer life, and yet we know that throughout the book, Daniel was a prayer warrior. He was seeking God every day, and especially in his times of need. And we see this same action from another real prominent person in the scriptures. Who would that be? Who spent all of his time in prayer? Jesus Christ. That he spent almost all of his time before he was doing miracles and working with people, he was spending time talking to the Father. Why? Because he needed the strength from God to be able to do what he was needing to do, to deal with people and to go to that cross ultimately for us. So we see that in the life of Daniel. We see that in the life of Jesus, more importantly. So we must see that in our lives as well. We must be people of prayer. I see throughout the scriptures that those who connect to God strongly in prayer, get this now, is those who will find themselves living victoriously. You want a stronger faith? You want to live victoriously in this life? Connect to God in prayer daily. Spend much time in prayer. Talk to God as much as you can. We need to know this. God is just a prayer away. God is just a prayer away. That all he wants us to do is just stop and talk to him. Stop and cry out to him. Stop and just ask him, Lord, help me. Bible says that if you are tempted, that God will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear it. He will give you a way out of it, but you've got to say, God, help me to not do this. Talk to God. When somebody breaks your heart, talk to God. He's just a prayer away. He understands. He'll help. When life breaks loose, when the hard times come, and they will, I'm sorry to say, I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Talk to God. Pray to God. So what do you do when the enemy attacks your prayers? What do you do when the enemy attacks your prayers and your prayer life becomes nil? You know what you do? Here it is. Here it is. This is a profound statement. When the enemy attacks your prayers, here's the answer. Pray harder. Pray harder. Pray through it. Get through it. Connect with God. Pray harder. And we're going to finish up in this last one. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he ran and cried and stopped talking to God. Is that what that says? Absolutely not. A man of faith, an obedient man of God. You guys are all going, oh, okay, is that what, yeah, I get it. Let me read this here. No, that's not what it says. He went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem, the west. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to God. When all breaks loose, as I've stated before, in your life, when things get hard, when things get confusing, when you need wisdom, when you need direction, when you just need just somebody to help you out, somebody to tell you it's going to be okay, just stop and pray. Because God is just a prayer away. He wants to hear from you. Whatever it is, pray. God will touch you. Because remember, if Daniel didn't pray, if Daniel was to pray and he didn't bow down, what was going to happen to him? The decree said that if you prayed to any other entity or God before praying to the king, you'd be thrown in the den of lions. So he knew that if he was caught praying that day on, if he was caught praying, that his life could be sacrificed. He knew that, but he prayed. So what to do? What to do when a decree comes from man that defies God? What do you do? This is so relevant for today, people. Because man is trying to get us to defy God. They're trying to jack with the church. They're trying to say, preachers, you can only preach this, but don't preach this, and don't do this, and don't do that, and don't preach all that Bible anymore. They are trying to muzzle the good news. And they're trying to put laws around that's going to make us do so. So what do we do when man makes a law that defies God's law? What do you do? Well, we look to the scriptures. Facing their own persecution, Peter said this in Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles reply, we must obey God rather than any human authority. Even if it costs us our very lives, we will not defy God. We will stand against human authority if it defies our God. God first. God first. Daniel was obviously feeling the same thing. Who do we obey? Man or God? Who do we obey? Who's in charge around here? It's not the mayor. It's not those in authority. We elect all of them. They're not truly in charge. Though I take no disrespect towards the office, because we're taught in Scripture to respect the office of those in leadership, right? To pray for those in leadership. And yes, that includes your president. Yes, it does. You're a Christian, you pray for your president. Please. He's just a dude, man. Just another person like you and me. He needs prayer. So does our Congress. All of them need prayer. You go to vote, pray. Pray for the Lord's will. But what do? When you're faced with serving man or God, you serve God. You serve God. Pray. Daniel obeyed God regardless of the consequences. God must be put first. His law will always be higher than any law of the land. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will take care of us. Always seek God. There will be times when you and I will face this dilemma. Who do we obey, God or man? Do you know, I know of people, and you might know of people that said, this company I work for has paid my salary, has given me raises, has elevated me to this position, but they are asking me to do something that is against my God, and I won't do it, and I lost my job. But they chose God. They chose God. And I have to imagine that God will bless them for that. I would never be part of something that defies my God. I won't do it. And I hope you won't either. Because we must choose God first. We must choose God first. Then the officials went to Daniel's house, found him praying and asking for God's help. And in verse 12, so they caught him. Remember the setup? They caught him. They knew they would. They knew this was a friend of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They knew that they were going to get this guy when they challenged his faith in God. They knew that he wasn't going to bow down. Hey, that's kind of interesting when your enemies know that you won't defy your own God. That must mean that something you're doing is working. So they went straight to the king. King! He's not obeying the law! You know what you got to do, King? He's not doing what we said to do. And then what happened next will be next week. Amen? Amen? Come in and get the second part of this, because man alive, there's a lot coming down here that's going to bless you, strengthen you, cause you to choose God first. You choose God first. God puts you first. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. Amen. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for just a great day in your house. Thank you, Lord, for us able to celebrate communion together, talking about the awesome ministry of Operation Christmas Child. But most of all, thank you for your presence being here with us. Thank you for your powerful word. May we all leave here encouraged by choosing God first. We thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name, and each one said,